Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Braskem's third quarter 2016 earnings conference call. Today with us we have Fernando Musa, CEO, Pedro Freitas, CFO, and Pedro Teixeira, IR Controller and Project Finance Director. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After Braskem remarks are completed, there will be a question and answer section. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. We have simultaneous webcasts that may be accessed through Braskem's IR website, www.braskem-ir.com.br. The slide presentation may be downloaded from this website. Please feel free to flip through the slides during the conference call. There will be a replay facility for this call on the website. We remind you the questions which will be answered during the Q&A session may be posted in advance on the website. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the Safe Harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Braskem management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risk, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand the general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Braskem and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Pedro Teixeira, IR Controller and Project Finance Director. Mr. Teixeira, you may begin your conference.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for participating in another Braskem Earnings Conference call. Today, we'll present our results for the third quarter of 2016. We remind you that pursuant to the Brazilian federal law from 2007, the results presented in today's presentation reflect the adoption of International Financial Reporting Standards. The financial information in today's presentation was reviewed by the independent external auditor. So let's go to the next slide, which we will present the highlights in the period. In Brazil, the highlight was the resin market, which came to 1.3 million tons, growing 6% against the same quarter last year and 8% over the previous quarter. Braskem sales grew by 5% to 846,000 tons for a 69% of market share. Braskem crackers in Brazil set a new record for capacity utilization, an average of 94%, which is 4 percentage points higher than in the same quarter last year and 2 percentage points higher than the second quarter. To meet the growth in demand, Braskem reduced its resin exports, and they were 7% lower compared to both the same quarter last year and the prior quarter. Exports of basic petrochemicals came to 333,000 tons, growing by 11% on the second quarter. EBITDA from the operations in Brazil, including exports, amounted to 2.2 billion reais, representing 75% of the company's consolidated EBITDA. In our PP operations in US and Europe, the highlights were the average capacity utilization rate of 101%, reflecting the continued good level of operating efficiency. Sales volume in the quarter came to 516,000 tons, advancing 3% on the third quarter of last year. EBITDA in the United States and Europe was $161 million or 524 million reais, accounting for 18% of the consolidated EBITDA. In Mexico, still in a ramp-up phase, the PE plant operated at an average capacity utilization rate of 63%, which is 31 percentage points higher than in the second quarter. Sales volume was 153,000 tons, of which 39% was sold in the Mexican market and 61% was exported. EBITDA reached $66 million, or equivalent to 214 million reais, accounting for 7% of the consolidated EBITDA of Braskem. In the consolidated results, Braskem reported an EBITDA of 3 billion reais, in line with both the same quarter last year and the previous quarter. In US dollars, the EBITDA reached 924 million, growing 6% year over year and 8% on the prior quarter. The corporate leverage ratio in US dollars ended the quarter at 1.63 times, which is the lowest level of the last 12 years. In September, the board of directors approved the distribution of interim dividends for the 2015 fiscal year of 1 billion reais, which was paid in October. On slide number 4, we comment on the segment's performance in the Brazilian market. The total of the Brazilian market was 1.3 million tons, growing by 8% from the second quarter and 6% from the same quarter last year. Braskem's resin sales in Brazil followed the overall market and grew by 3% compared to the prior quarter to 890,000 tons. Given the higher demand of the Brazilian market, resin exports declined by 7% compared to the prior quarter. An important highlight was the crackers in Brazil setting a new record for an average capacity utilization rate of 96%, or 2 percentage points higher than in the second quarter, due to continued good performance of all crackers led by the São Paulo cracker. The international resin spread weighted by the Braskem production in Brazil stood at $743 per ton in the quarter, an increase of 10% on the prior quarter. For the main basic petrochemicals, the spread reached $399 per ton, increasing by 16% from the previous quarter. As a result, EBITDA in Brazil, including exports, was 2.2 billion reais, down 4% on the second quarter, reflecting the Brazilian real appreciation. This EBITDA represented 75% of the consolidated EBITDA of Braskem. Moving on, slide 5, we will comment on the U.S. and Europe business unit. The focus remained on operating performance to take advantage of the continued solid demand for PP, especially in the United States. PP sales volume in the quarter were stable in relation to the prior quarter at 503,000 tons. PP spread in U.S. market stood at $617 per ton, down 70% from the previous quarter due to the 16% increase in the average U.S. Gulf price for propylene as a result of scheduled and unscheduled shutdowns in the United States. In this context, the unit posted an EBITDA of $161 million, down 24% over the second quarter and 114% higher year over year. In Brazilian reais, EBITDA was 524 million reais, accounting for 18% of the consolidated EBITDA of Brazil. In the same quarter last year, the unit accounted for 9% of the total EBITDA of Brazil. Moving on, let's turn to slide number 6, please. In Mexico, the focus remained on the ramp-up process, especially at the polyethylene plant. The polyethylene plant operated at an average capacity utilization rate of 63%, up 31 percentage points on the prior quarter. The total polyethylene production was 166,000 tons, while sales came to 153,000 tons, of which 39% was sold in the domestic market and 61% was exported. The team also worked to develop sales channels in the local and international market and to improve logistics in both markets. Sales volume growth supported by higher dilution of fixed costs, and then Braskem Idesa posted an EBITDA of 214 million reais, or over 200 million reais more than in the previous quarter. In US dollars, EBITDA was 66 million, representing 7% of the consolidated EBITDA of Braskem. Slide number 7 shows EBITDA in the third quarter compared to the second quarter. EBITDA was $924 million, advancing 80% on the second quarter, which is explained by higher sales volumes in Brazil, higher contribution margins, mainly due to the higher resin spreads in international market, and the contribution from Braskem Idesa project. In Brazilian reais, EBITDA was 3 billion, in line with the previous quarter, due to the Brazilian real appreciation in the period. On slide number 8, you can see EBITDA in the year-to-date of $2.6 billion, an increase of 15% on the same 9-year period last year, which is explained by better PP spreads in United States and Europe, higher total sales volume, the performance of operations in US and Europe, and the Mexican unit beginning to generate results. These factors offset the higher fixed costs and SG&A expenses due to increase in wages and benefits, logistics expenses, legal and advertising expenses. In Brazilian reais, EBITDA grew by 27% to 9.1 billion reais. Slide number 9 shows the Braskem corporate debt, excluding the project finance debt in Mexico. In this context, on September 30, Braskem gross debt stood at $7.4 billion, decreasing by 2% from the balance on June 30. In Brazilian reais, consolidated gross debt fell by 1%. A total of 78% of the gross debt was denominated in US dollars. The balance of cash and equivalents stood at $2.4 billion, or 7.8 billion reais. Net debt stood at $5 billion, down 9% from the end of the previous quarter. In Brazilian reais, net debt fell by 8%. 99% of the net debt was denominated in US dollars. The net debt to EBITDA ratio ended the quarter at 1.63 times when measuring US dollars. In Brazilian reais, the leverage ratio stood at 1.47 times, down 6% from the end of the second quarter, influenced by the company's strong cash generation. The company's average debt term is around 15 years. In the quarter, Fitch reaffirmed its risk rating for Braskem of BBB- and revised its outlook from negative to stable. This means that Braskem's credit rating remained above Brazilian sovereign rating at the three main risk rating agencies and with investment grade ratings at S&P and Fitch. Going now to slide number 10, in the 9-month period of 2016, Braskem invested 2.2 billion reais, of which 1.1 billion reais, or $330 million, was allocated to Braskem's capital contribution to the Mexican project, 830 million reais was allocated to maintenance and operating reliability plans, and 194 million reais was allocated to other strategic investments. Of the total amount in the year to date, approximately 60% were invested in US dollars by the international business and Braskem's capital contribution in the Mexican project. Slide 11 covers the scenario for ethylene petrochemical industry. The new ethylene capacity coming online in 2017 and 18, which could cause volatility in the petrochemical supply-demand balance, should be smoother than due to the cancellation and postponement of certain greenfield projects and by the reduced addition of new capacities in the period from 2016 to 2020, based on newly revised data from the consulting firm IHS. In the United States, certain new capacities are suffering delays, while in China and the Asia region, coal-based projects have lost some of their attractiveness due to the lower naphtha price. Moreover, projects are facing high investment costs and infrastructure problems. On the next slide, we comment on the petrochemical scenario for resins. In Brazil, with the recovery in oil price and consequently the increase in naphtha price, the resins price should narrow, also influenced by the lower price for PP in Asia and PE in the United States due to the new capacity to come online in the respective regions in 2017. Despite the narrowing, resin spreads in Brazilian market should remain above historical levels. In US and Europe, expectation is for a healthy PP propylene spread despite volatility due to high volumes of PP imported, the bottlenecking of some units in the United States, and lower propylene supply in Europe due to the use by crackers of imported gas as a feedstock. For the spread between PE and ethane, the gas-based feedstock used by the Mexican complex, producers should maintain their competitiveness despite the expected narrowing of spreads due to lower PE price due to new capacity coming online and higher ethane price influenced by the strong demand. Moving on to the last slide, Braskem priorities in Brazil are capturing operating performance gains in the plants to serve the domestic market, exporting any volumes not sold in Brazil, conducting maintenance shutdowns on one of the lines at the Bahia cracker in the fourth quarter, completing the feedstock flexibility project in Bahia. In the US and Europe, the focus will be on ensuring commercial and operational efficiency, seeking new opportunities for growth in PP based on competitive propylene feedstock in the United States, and commissioning the new UTEC plant in Texas. In Mexico, the priority will be ensuring the operational stability of the complex, supporting sales in the Mexican market, and strengthening relationships with local clients, and conducting exporting synergies with various other Braskem's operations in the U.S., Europe, and South America. In terms of liquidity and financial health, the focus will be on cash generation and the ongoing implementation of the program to cut fixed costs with potential annual recurring savings of 400 million reais. Finally, on the international investigation process, the focus will be in advancing the dialogue with authorities to find a solution. That concludes today's presentation. Let's go now to the question and answer session.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone at this or any time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question that you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we pose for questions. Mr. Felipe from Bradesco would like to make a question.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the question. So I just have one simple question here. So Braskem is generating a lot of cash today, so I think our investors are happy to see how much the company is able to generate in terms of cash. So I think the big question for us is to understand what to do with this cash. So I think the most obvious answers are first, increase dividends, or second, go after new strategic projects such as PP projects in the U.S., or any other product that company may consider strategic. So what I would like to hear from you is, in terms of priorities, what is the priority for the company right now? It's either to increase dividend, as happened this year once, or go after the PP projects in the U.S. And if you're going after the PP projects, what will be the state of the projects under study today? That's it. Thank you.
Hello, Felipe. Thank you for your question. As you said, the first quarter demonstrated the continuous strong cash generation that the company has generated. As for the use of cash, we see at least three levers. First, on dividends, we just announced in October 1 billion high additional payment that was executed. Second, as you mentioned, it creates the opportunity for us to continue to invest in projects that are either a capacity expansion, like the potential PP project in the U.S. that would be built in Texas, or investments like the one we're making right now in our Bahia cracker to create flexibility. So project portfolio would include capacity additions, but also improvement in competitiveness to support future cash flow generation. And the third is continue our process of reducing the leverage. We are now at 1.63 debt over EBITDA. We want to continue to manage the use of cash along those three dimensions. And the concept here is to prepare ourselves for a potential down cycle in the PE ethylene value chain that might be coming depending on the speed of implementation of the project going on in the U.S. Therefore, we will manage those leverages making sure that we can maintain a debt over EBITDA under 2.5, which is our desired leverage point.
Okay, clear. Thank you very much.
Mr. Hassan from Alembic Global would like to make a question.
Afternoon, folks. One of the sort of recent trends that we've seen over the last couple of months is this sort of production scaling back of coal out in China, right? And, there are obviously a variety of products you guys produce, you know, be it on the olefin, polyolefin side of things or the PVC side of things, that are currently being produced using, in different production percentages, coal as a feedstock. So do you believe that, some of this sort of resilience or strength in be it PVC pricing or ethylene polyethylene pricing we are seeing on the back of these higher coal prices, A, and B, what's your perception going forward in terms of the impact this may have on the market?
Okay, thank you, Hassan, for your question. We've been following what's going on in China with the significant investments that were made over the years and are still being made in multiple plants leveraging different types of feedstock, the main one being coal. What RNS has shown is that at the current oil price and the way the Chinese market government is managing coal price and the environmental aspects of it, the coal to olefins and therefore polyolefins is not very competitive. So our assumption is that the scale back in production from coal is a combination of the environmental restrictions and the economic logic kicking in to moderate their production. As we look forward, it seems that a little bit similar to what we're seeing in the U.S., many of the projects that have been announced over the years in China are being delayed and or canceled. One analysis that we did in a little bit more detail was the whole PDH investment. We see many reports mentioning several million tons of propylene production from PDH. But when you dig a little bit deeper, many of those projects seem to be either very early stage or more on the idea phase. So we're probably going to see a spacing of any future capacity entrance in China, which should contribute to a smoother supply and demand equilibrium going forward. Having said all that, of course, the relative prices of oil, coal, and gas in the U.S. that is a key contributor to the methanol to olefins in China value chain are the crucial variables. So if they stay where they are, we do expect that this capacity will have a mild effect on any. Just a quick point, if you look at the expectation for ethylene new capacity in China, in the first quarter of this year, IHS was expecting 2.7 million tons of new capacity in 19. In the third quarter, they're only projecting 0.8 million tons for 2019. So this is a concrete illustration of the spacing out of the new entrances and or canceling of new projects.
Very helpful. Now, as a follow-up, obviously a lot of discussion on ethane, particularly out here in the U.S., but potentially not enough discussion surrounding propane. And, why I bring that up is obviously, you guys you know, are big producers of polypropylene as well. So my question really is that, you know, as these discussions continue, one of the points that's constantly brought up is that as ethane demand continues rising in the U.S., you know, be it from the influx of new greenfield facilities or more and more sort of exported ethane, propane may provide a relief valve, meaning, you know, you could, you know, propane could provide a ceiling for ethane pricing. So now my question to you is that, you know, what do you feel, you know, with that as a backdrop, over the next couple of years, how do you see propane and propylene pricing shaking out?
We would share your point of view. As you said, with ethane consumption going up with the new project starting in the U.S., and we will probably reach a point where propane use at the crackers will increase and therefore help balance the supply to the new and existing cracker base in the U.S. So with that in mind, you probably reach a point where ethane and propane go towards some kind of export parity and linking between ethane and propane price. In that scenario, the propylene question is a little bit trickier because on the PDH side, you will have the Dow PDH and the Dow PDH up and running. Mm-hmm. They will be competitive. They will run 100% of the time, so you have that production coming. If the crackers start to use a little bit more propane, you have more propylene in the market. So mm-hmm. one very plausible scenario is that propylene prices decrease in the U.S. given the abundance of supply coming from the PDHs that will be running, plus the crackers moving to more propane
propane feedstock. Fair. Yep.
So this should lead to a high availability of propylene and low price of propylene, which is one of the key drivers for our PP project in the U.S., which is a combination of strong PP demand in the U.S., but a very good competitive cost position to serve both the U.S. and eventually to export PP out of the U.S. into other markets around the world in that scenario where propylene is very competitive globally.
Super helpful. Thank you so much.
Miss Sarah from Barclays would like to make a question.
Hi, good afternoon. I had two very specific questions. One is regarding your debt and accessing the capital markets. So I know that you've been reducing your debt, but I was wondering if you were contemplating any kind of transaction, either new net financing or possibly more likely doing any liability management and perhaps like retargeting the 2018s. And then the other question that I had was about S&P, which still has your rating on negative outlook, and what kinds of conversations you have been having with them. Thank you.
So, Sarah, thank you for the question. This is Pedro Freitas. We are always analyzing the market for a good timing to get in. We right now don't have anything in our hands. We do look at our upcoming bond maturities in 18, 20, 21, and we will, when the timing is right, we will go to market to look for refinancing those bonds. But so far, we are still analyzing the market.
Great, thanks. And regarding any conversations with S&P regarding what might be required for them to remove the negative outlook on your rating?
Yeah, so on that, the view that we get from S&P is very much because of the Brazilian sovereign rating. So the negative is there. From our understanding, is that the negative is there because of the Brazil situation. Brazil is two notches below us. So if there is any further downgrade in Brazil, our understanding that that negative is there because of that. On the other hand, Fitch has removed the negative from our rating. So we have now a stable outlook for our investment grade rating with Fitch.
Got it. Thank you.
Mr. Pedro from Citigroup would like to make a question.
Hey, thank you so much for taking the question. Congratulations for the results. I have two questions. One of them is a follow-up. I think most of my questions were answering this call in the Portuguese version as well. So the first one is, look, when we look forward to 2017, there's a particular event for your propylene assets in the U.S., which is the startup of the PDH facility from Enterprise, in which you have an off-taker agreement to take a good share of that facility propylene production. So I just wanted to understand what is the effect to your propylene polypropylene business margins for 2017 with the startup of that facility and the contract itself. Was there any change on the contract conditions as well, given the delays on the project? And the second question is, how does that contract interact, and if it interacts at all, with the expected supply for the conversion that is taking place in Camaçari? Understand it's an ethane supply, so it's a bit different, but if you mind commenting on that and how the economics of that conversion should work, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, so talking about the contract for purchase of propylene from Enterprise, this is a contract that involves volumes that can be produced both from the PDH or the Enterprise leaders. We do not foresee any change in that contract. This is a long-term contract that was signed back in 2012. Their project is delayed, but still within the window that exists in the contract for the startup date, so there is no trigger of any penalty on the Enterprise side because of any delay. So we do expect to start receiving volumes from the PDH-based contract during the 2017. We're the largest buyer of propylene in the U.S. market, and we have multiple contracts. This is one of the contracts that we have that will be a part of the supply for three assets in the Gulf Coast. As far as impact for the margins, as I said before during the previous question, the higher availability of propylene in the region should lead to lower propylene price. Therefore, this contract, the fact that the PDH is starting should be a positive contributor to the PP business margins in the U.S. Speaking about the ethane contract or ethane flow from the U.S. into Camaçari, even though we have an agreement with Enterprise as well, the two contracts are not connected. Those are two independent contracts. So there's no link whatsoever except for the fact that it's the same buyer and the same seller. As far as the concept of this ethane supply into our cracker, the concept is to convert a part of one of the trains in Camaçari so that it can also crack ethane and not only naphtha. We are doing the investment as we speak. We have an expectation of the end of this process in the second half of next year, where we could start flowing ethane from the U.S. into the Camaçari cracker. The concept here is a concept of flexibility. So we will have the flexibility to either crack naphtha or ethane. We do believe that the ethane cracking will be competitive, even though it will land in Camaçari with a cost addition because of logistics compared to U.S. Cracking. But given that this is an addition and flexibility into a much larger cracker, the economics are interesting. The investment necessary to adapt the cracker is in the $100 to $120 million in total, and includes not only some adaptations at the cracker, but most of the investment is in the logistics at the port and the pipelines to move the ethane from the ships into the cracker in Bahia.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Very clear.
Remembering, if you have a question, please press star 1. I'll turn over to the company for closing remarks.
I would like to thank all the participants to this dialogue. It was another strong quarter for Braskem with very good operational results, very good commercial results, which reinforces our conviction that our strategy that is built around increased focus in competitiveness, focus on the internationalization of our operations and the desire to diversify our feedstock matrix is the right strategy. We have been generating very solid and positive results over the last few quarters, and we do expect to continue to be able to generate those good results. Thank you all for participating. Bye.
Thank you. This concludes today's Braskem's earnings conference call. You may disconnect your lines at this time.